This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another week is underway. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel, and it's 69 degrees right now, sunny skies, a high today of 75. The five-day forecast is coming up.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update from Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, earlier gains are largely gone. The Dow is still up just 11 points now. NASDAQ lower by 37 or 0.5%. S&P down 9 or 0.33%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index also sliding now 0.33%. Investors are worried about T-Mobile's planned takeover of Sprint. News of the deal, valued at $26.5 billion, has shares of both companies sharply lower. T-Mobile down 7.5%, and Sprint is losing more than 15% today. Kemper and McDonald's are lifting our local benchmark after those companies posted upbeat earnings news. We are buying and paying more, and the Fed is taking notes. The Commerce Department says in March, U.S. consumer spending picked up 0.4%. Our income's up 0.3%. The Fed's preferred inflation gauge hit the central bank's 2% target for the first time in a year. And that comes just ahead of the Fed's meeting tomorrow and Wednesday to decide what to do with interest rates. And the latest measure of signed contracts to buy previously owned homes rose less than expected in March. That suggests headwinds for home sales in coming months. The National Association of Realtors' March pending home sales report shows a 0.4% increase rather than the 0.7% predicted. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we are taking a look at some important economic reports that we're expecting this week and what they may say. As Elisa mentioned, McDonald's is having a good day, up about 5 percentage points, and we'll tell you why.
And we'll find out about the T-Mobile and Sprint proposed merger. What could that mean for consumers and investors? And it's Stock Picker Monday. An investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of McDonald's are hot today as the fast food giant beats the street with its quarterly earnings report. That's coming up in our next segment. Right now, some key reports are out today, while the week ahead will include the federal meeting on interest rates, the government jobs report for April. We are joined by Carl Tannenbaum, chief economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Carl. We're looking through a lot of data today. What particularly interests you?
Well, good afternoon, Chris and Cisco. The number that came out this morning that I circled with the darkest ring is the update on the Fed's favorite inflation measure, which is the inflation embedded in what people are buying, consumer expenditures. The Fed has inflation target of 2%, and that measure, which they watch the most closely, is now up to 1.9% year over year. That had been depressed for a little while because of some measurement changes that were implemented last year, but now those are off the year-over-year comparison, and it reflects really the fact the economy is performing above its potential, which is good, but now the Federal Reserve in its discussions this week will have to be very cognizant of where inflation could go from here.
And the problem is that the people worry that it could get out of hand in some way.
Well, we've had very good fortune with inflation so far during this cycle. Certainly, some of it is due to the fact that we had a lot of excess capacity, so we could ramp up growth without stressing the prices of the factors of production, labor in particular, Chris. But now that we're almost 9 years into the expansion, unemployment is very low. The going forward, if we're going to continue to grow at the current pace, is going to require some resources that may end up costing us more than they have in the past.
Do you see this or anything else possibly influencing the Fed as far as interest rates go, maybe speeding up the increases?
Well, so far, Cisco, the Fed has been very measured, and I think they'll stay that way. They've confined their actions really since they began raising rates to quarter ends, where the chair of the Fed can offer a press conference. There is no such gathering at the end of this week's meeting, so We'll be watching the statement. The market certainly isn't expecting the action now, but the likelihood for a June increase, Cisco, I think is all the way up to 93% as implied by the markets. And at that point, Fed Chair Jay Powell can give us more guidance on where they'll go from there.
Talk about consumer spending and what you make of the rebound in March, up 0.4%.
Some seasonal things, Cisco, have really affected the pattern of consumer spending. Late last year, there was a lot of demand related to the natural disasters that we had had, evident in particular in auto sales for those who lost their cars during the various storms. That slowed down. Consumption was pretty soft in the first quarter GDP report, but all the fundamentals for consumers are strong. Strong employment. We have the personal tax cuts that'll put more money in people's pockets. The equity markets have done well. People with portfolios are experiencing wealth effects. So we're expecting that consumers will be very active contributors to economic growth for the balance of this year.
Another piece of data that's on our desk today is the Chicago PMI. It has inched a little higher in April. What does that mean?
Well, all of the manufacturing surveys like the Chicago PMI and its analogs elsewhere in the country remain at fairly high levels. That suggests that those who make goods and services are very optimistic about the future. And if they act on those expectations by hiring and making capital investments, then they'll become self-fulfilling in our national income accounts.
So it sounds like the economy's in a pretty good spot. Does that worry you that it's been 9 years?
Well, I think we should be grateful for all of the good news. Now, you know, of course, there are issues on the horizon that the Fed and others will have to consider. What is the trade environment going to be? Oil prices, as you mentioned earlier, a little bit higher. How is that going to impair business? And how do we manage a very aged expansion so that it doesn't get too far offside? So these are things that we have to manage, but I'll tell you, they're good problems to have.
Pending home sales rose just slightly. Are we reaching a point here where because of there being so little as far as supply goes and prices going up that some people who want to buy aren't going to be able to afford to?
I think that's fair. And, you know, housing's been slow to recover because of the financial reform and the need to reinforce mortgage underwriting standards. But we are seeing people back into a position where they want homes and they'd like to afford homes, but there are so few of them available that prices are moving up a little bit more briskly.
That's Carl Tannenbaum, Chief Economist at Northern Trust here in Chicago. Great insight. Thanks for joining us, Carl, as always. Up next, Oak Brook-based McDonald's scores a first quarter win. And coming up at 12:39, the T-Mobile and Sprint possible merger. What could it mean for consumers and investors?
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Shares of suburban-based McDonald's are soaring today, up about 5% on the heels of its latest report. Let's break it down with the help of R.J. Hottovy, consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. R.J., give us the nuts and bolts of McDonald's report.
Yeah, I think there's really two takeaways here. One is that the U.S. Segment of the company continues to operate very well in what's a pretty difficult environment for quick service restaurant chains right now. And I think it ties back to a number of factors. One is the new value-based promotion, the $1-$3 menu, but also things like delivery, mobile ordering, and some of the other technologies they brought in. But the other takeaway is that some of their international markets, where they're a little bit further along in terms of the technology and the experience initiatives the company's rolling out, are seeing very strong results. And I think that forecasts some potentially a long tail of strong sales results in the U.S. For the quarters and years to come.
How's their pricing impacting any of this with raising prices on some menu items? I know some of the franchisees, the owner-operators, have been complaining about some of the lower prices.
It's always a fine line to balance pricing and within this industry. And I think what we're seeing is with them rolling out the nationwide $1-$3 menu, you need to offset that in some places. And so we've seen some actual menu increases, among the higher priced, more premium items right now. And I think that's worked out well for them. They are comping positive in the U.S. Traffic is still negative, but I think that $1-$3 menu is driving enough people into the restaurants that it's worthwhile keeping. And then when the consumers are there, they're finding value in either pairing up those value menus items or moving to more of the premium items. So I think that the strategy is working. Obviously, the company would like to see more traffic, but between mobile order and pay and fresh beef rolling out next month, as well as some of these experience initiatives, I think we're going to continue to see traffic improve as the year progresses.
What kind of technology is McDonald's using to get the sandwiches to the buyers as soon as possible?
It's a number of things, and it's pretty consistent with what we've seen with some of the more successful operators in the space. I think delivery is very interesting, and frankly, it's probably done better than I even expected it to. The partnership with Uber Eats and others, I think that's really filling in a void at the evening day part with a lot of family and larger group occasions. We're seeing mobile order and pay, which is still a very small part of the percentage of the mix right now, but there's seen some real traction with curbside pickup within the mobile order aspect. And then beyond that, just some of the more technology aspects within the restaurants, so things like kiosk ordering, and other things to streamline the operations itself, which is improving speed of service and order accuracy. And I think that's overall, helped put the brand in a better light than it had been with some of the operational challenges they'd had a few years ago. So it's a combination of things. It's not just one thing on the technology front.
Ordering kiosks is sort of interesting because not only, as you mentioned, does it help customers with order accuracy and speed and all of that, but in the long run, once the kiosks are in order, it can decrease some of McDonald's labor costs.
Yeah, I think that's probably something that they probably don't publicize as well, but I think it's pretty fair to say that the company is going to be, between that and some of the other automation stuff that there is, it's a way to reduce labor costs, which is one of the key headwinds we're seeing across the restaurant space. That is going to be a major difficulty for a lot of operators to get around, and McDonald's franchisees are not included, but I think that a well-capitalized partner like McDonald's certainly can help to offset some of those costs, and I think you're absolutely right. I think we'll see some of that labor reallocated or even eliminated outright.
Carl, what's your recommendation on the stock?
So we have a $190 fair value estimate, and even with the increase today, we still see shares as attractive. And on top of it, too, it's a nice dividend yield with it as well, so 2.5%. So not only it's going to continue to grow, but also for income investors, it's probably worth a look.
RJ, thanks so much for joining us today. Always nice to have you on the program. RJ Hottovy, consumer equity strategist at Morningstar here in Chicago. Still ahead, a proposed deal in the cell phone industry that could have a major impact on competition.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. A check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by ChicagoRoofing.org. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Chris, we're headed lower. Make that Cisco. The Dow down 8.5 points to 24,304. NASDAQ is down 41 points. Now, that's a loss of more than 0.5%. S&P down 9. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by 0.4%. Crude oil futures all of a sudden higher by 1.5% and busting above $69 a barrel. There's a deal to create the largest independent fuel maker in the U.S. Marathon Petroleum is buying rival oil refiner and Endeavor for more than $23 billion. Marathon's geographic footprint is focused in the Midwest and Gulf Coast. Endeavor's refineries and pipelines are in western states. We've got a check of the grains markets now. We turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had corn up 4, up a half at the moment. We have December corn up a penny at 4.15¾. Beans have been up 10 to down 7. We have July beans at the moment at 10.50, down 6¼. And wheat is up 6 at 5.04½ after being as high as 13. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55. Live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
There's a new powerhouse in the U.S. oil refining industry. We'll examine the deal that's created it.
House hunters may be the unknowing targets of video surveillance.
A proposed merger between Sprint and T-Mobile could be good news for consumers.
Stock Picker Monday will have two ideas from an investment pro.
Several high school students are among a group injured by a fire pit explosion in the western suburbs.
Wall Street, the Dow up 5, the NASDAQ down 36.5, and the S&P 500 down by 8.
Beautiful day in Chicagoland with lots of sunshine, headed to a high right about 75 degrees. Right now it is 70 degrees in Chicagoland. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Marathon Petroleum has reached a $23 billion deal to buy rival Endeavor, and this creates the largest oil refining company in the United States. Let's take a closer look with Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Chicago News contributor. Phil, what do we need to know here?
I think what we need to know is that this is a huge refining deal, and it's because it's a great time to be a refiner. The U.S. refiners are not only refining for the United States, they're now refiners to the world. In Marathon, buying Endeavor, which used to be Tesoro, if people don't know who Endeavor is a major deal, and it really shows you that companies are really positioning themselves to be a major player in a world where the demand for gasoline and diesel is rising every day.
And why is the first 3 months of 2018 demand grew more than nearly from 8 years, most in 8 years? Why is that?
I think it's a combination of factors. First of all, when it comes to low oil prices, they cure low oil prices. It creates more demand. But at the same time, I think the Donald Trump tax cuts for corporate America really spurred a lot of economic activity, and that really led to this strong growth, not only here in the U.S., but across the globe. There's a new economic optimism out there, and because of that, we use more oil, and it's just been the way it is. You know, sometimes rising oil prices are a reflection of a growing economy.
All right, Phil, thanks so much. That was very understandable. Phil Flynn, senior market analyst at Price Group and Fox Business News contributor here in Chicago.
Growing numbers of home sellers are using security cameras to monitor the reactions of prospective buyers as they tour their properties. Let's talk about the effectiveness and ethics with Rick Sharga, Executive Vice President of Carrington Mortgage Holdings, based in Aliso Viejo, California. So, Rick, what we have here is the wireless security cameras, and people are paying attention to prospective buyers as they're walking through the house that's for sale.
That's exactly right. Big Brother is everywhere, even if it happens to be a little brother that lives in the house. It's an interesting idea, and theoretically, what it enables a seller to do is to make changes to their house or adjust things that make the house more attractive or more likely to sell to a particular prospective buyer. In a lot of ways, it's not very different from what Amazon does. Every time you log into their website, and kind of tracks your movements and figures out what you might be interested in.
So it can benefit them in that they notice comments that people are making, and maybe they're able to make adjustments in the property?
Yeah, or adjustments even in the price. If they have a few buyers come through for an open house and make the same comments about a fireplace needing work or something in the paint colors or whatever, they can either adjust prices accordingly or try and make changes to the house to make it more attractive to other potential buyers.
In any sense, is this illegal?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what kind of expectation of privacy you have entering somebody's private residence. There is a notion of security cameras being pretty much everywhere. So I don't know that anybody's privacy is violated unless the information that's gathered is used outside of that particular application.
So in a way, this is a warning to the person who walks into the house and says, oh, I love this. We've got to have it. So that the owner knows that they can up the price a little bit.
My mom always said, don't do anything you wouldn't want to see on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably good advice now for people looking at houses.
And is that now one of the questions that people are going to be having to ask their realtor? Can you ask the sellers, are there any microphones or cameras in this house?
You know, it's the world we live in today. From a seller's perspective, a homeowner's perspective, the need for security is probably very real. You also don't want people lifting your jewelry out of a drawer while they're looking through your house. But I think as a consumer now, you have to kind of, whether you're in a grocery store or a shopping mall or somebody's house, I think the expectation should be that somebody's watching you somewhere.
And possibly if they want to say, here's an example of what we want, maybe the home seller could get some information that would help the sale.
Absolutely. Some people see something in a house that's the one thing that prevents them from buying it, but doesn't think that the seller would be open to making some changes. So, theoretically, this could make the buyer and seller get closer to being able to make that transaction.
Great insight. Thanks so much, Rick Sharga, Executive Vice President at Carrington Mortgage Holdings. Up next, a proposed wireless merger could change the playing field for consumers.
Cashing in with conversation.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Sprint and T-Mobile have agreed to merge. It's a deal that still needs to be approved by the feds. Let's look at what the combination would mean for the companies and consumers. We welcome Sarah Forden, reporter at Bloomberg News. Sarah, I guess the first thing we need to mention is they have tried this before and it didn't go so well. Obviously, they're expecting a different outcome.
You're absolutely right. Back in 2014, the companies actually came to the DOJ to ask for sort of a blessing and were told under no certain terms to not even think about it. And this goes back to the deal in 2011 when AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile and the Justice Department sued to block the deal. And they now feel that was one of the best decisions that they made and has created a lot of competition and dynamism in the industry and contributed to T-Mobile becoming the sort of power player that it is today.
And so is there for T-Mobile and Sprint, are they saying that it will even be more competitive if they're allowed to be one of the even larger players?
I mean, that is an argument that companies often use to try to get their deals through. They say they need to combine to, you know, provide a more effective challenger to the top two. So, you know, the market often refers to the duopoly of AT&T and Verizon. But in this case, all of our antitrust experts are saying that the government is likely to take a pretty dim view of allowing more concentration among the top four players. So if Sprint were to buy T-Mobile, that would combine the number three and the number four players. And our experts are saying that would be a very tough sell to the Justice Department.
What would this mean to consumers?
Well, the thing that the antitrust officials will look at is whether the merger would then, you know, provide incentives to collude, to raise prices. You know, if they're not competing against each other, you know, what are the forces that are going to prevent them from raising prices? And as you have fewer players in an industry, they have more incentive to kind of follow each other higher. And these are the kinds of things that an antitrust review would try to prevent.
And any indication that the new president would be different in the feeling about this than the former president?
Well, certainly that is a question, and I think maybe the companies are coming back at this deal now after having tried many times before because they think they might have a better window. But the other thing that we noted in the story we have out this morning is that the antitrust division is already conducting an antitrust investigation of the top two players, AT&T and Verizon, for possible collusion and coordinating on patents. And so this is like a red flag for the lawyers who would be reviewing this merger. If you've already got a concentrated industry, you've already got an antitrust investigation into anti-competitive conduct, that is not going to add up well for this deal getting through.
One of the things that T-Mobile has been saying is moving forward into the future, moving into 5G, the only way they're really going to be not only competitive in that, but really to spur it going forward is to merge.
Sure. I mean, 5G is an important issue. We know that that this administration is very keen that we have a strong 5G player. But often companies will use, you know, benefits from a merger as reasons why they should win approval. Often companies will talk about jobs. These things tend to fall outside the purview of an antitrust analysis. And here we also have the other agency that reviews, you know, mobile licenses is the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And they've already said that they don't feel strongly about having four, you know, players in the national market, and they might be much more open to such a merger. But ultimately, the decision will be made by the antitrust division.
You touched on this a little. When it comes to prices, though, the fact that they would be larger, in theory, they can cut expenses, but they don't necessarily have to pass that along.
I mean, that's another argument that they could be used. You know, they have synergies, they generate benefits, and then they can cut prices. But the government will be looking at sort of what are the incentives to raise prices. So that's sort of a different part of the equation.
Seems like there's a challenge when you have two different mobile carriers like this, if the merger is allowed. Each of them has different specials, different plans, different price points. And so merging, that seems like that would be complicated for them to figure out. I mean, if you're already in a plan, they're going to end up with a bunch of different plans.
Sure. And one of the things that I think the industry has seen is that T-Mobile has been what is called a maverick. And even back in 2011 when they were struggling, they were the company that was kind of, quote, keeping all the big guys honest. And they were cutting prices, they were offering innovative packages, and they kind of forced the other companies to be more consumer friendly. And so now they've been able to grow to a point where they're actually the company that's acquiring Sprint. So the other question is, would Sprint risk, kind of dragging T-Mobile down? And does the government want to see that kind of dynamism go away, or risk seeing that go away?
Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. Lots of good info. Sarah Forden is reporter at Bloomberg News in Washington. And join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and we are talking with Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Tim, what do you have for us today? What's the first pick?
Hi, Chris. Well, I thought I'd start with J.P. Morgan Chase, which is a name I'm sure that's familiar to most people. Obviously, it's a big bank, the largest bank in the U.S., and this institution is very leveraged to rising interest rates, and clearly we're in a rising interest rate environment. The Federal Reserve is increasing rates to get back to more normal level of interest rates than we've seen for a number of years here, and also to choke off any inflation that we're beginning to see in the economy. And we saw that in today's release of the core PCE, which is the inflation measure that the Fed really watches. JP Morgan Chase, very safe company, very secure holding within the financial sector, so we like it a lot.
Some volatility this morning. The cost right now is 110. It was up and down a little bit this morning. But in terms of the financial companies, this would be your favorite?
Well, it would certainly be our favorite in terms of a core holding at this point. But I think for a little bit more excitement or in addition to it, we would look at some of the smaller or mid-sized banks. We think we're going to enter a period where there will be consolidation in banking. We think the regulations that were keeping banks from doing major acquisitions is going to lapse or be suspended. And we think that certainly acquisitions, mergers within banking are going to be on the rise. So we look at more mid-sized banks, even some smaller banks, as potential acquisition candidates.
Okay, so J.P. Morgan Chase, first pick. What is your second?
Cisco, we're going to go here with PayPal, which is the technology-oriented financial institution. Very different story than J.P. Morgan Chase. Again, it's more technology-driven. It's a growth story. This is all about new products, new financial products, new ways of moving money, new customers that they're bringing in, increased engagement with existing customers, and, of course, a big move to mobile payments. The big thing here is, or the new thing here really, is the person-to-person platforms with some social component. They have two primary products here, Venmo, which has been around for a while, and Zoom, with an X, O-O-M. And these are their person-to-person payment systems. They grew 50% in the first quarter. So they are being heavily adopted. So if you're out to dinner with a group of people, someone might pay the bill to the restaurant, but the other people at your table can pay you by going on to Venmo or Zoom and transferring money into your account.
Sounds great, and appreciate the insight on these two picks, J.P. Morgan Chase and PayPal. Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council, is our Monday Stock Picker this week. Be sure to go to our brand-new website, WBBMNewsRadio.com. Later today, a podcast of this hour will be there. An update on the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. A check of the markets from Bloomberg. Sponsored by Baird, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow now higher by 5 points. NASDAQ down 27 or 0.33%. S&P lower by 7. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg lower by almost 0.5%. Some big deals are in the works. Marathon Petroleum and Endeavor have announced a $23 billion merger that will create the largest fuel refiner in the U.S. with more than 5,000 gas stations. Investors are operating under the assumption that federal regulators will block a $26 billion takeover in the mobile phone industry. Shares of T-Mobile are falling more than 7%. Its takeover target, Sprint, is down more than 15%. Walmart is shifting its international strategy. The retail giant plans to give up control of its UK grocery chain and hold a smaller stake. Walmart says it's pursuing faster growth markets overseas, including China and India, while battling e-commerce giant Amazon here at home. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.